Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend John Couch, producing and engineering the show on the other side of the glass. Together, we welcome you to Buckmaster on this Monday, July the 1st, 2019. Today is Canada Day. Oh, Canada. It's the big day up in Canada. And, of course, it's the start of the Independence Day celebration, kind of a shortened, abbreviated work week. Here in the United States, as we've got the 4th of July on Thursday. You're listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. All of our podcasts available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. The live line number, if there's anything during the hour that you would like to call in, comment on, you're more than welcome to do that. The number is 790-2040. Every Monday, we begin the Buckmaster Show with our Monday Political Face-Off. Time to introduce our team of commentators this week. We welcome back to the show Bob Westerman. Bob is the former chair of the Pima County Republican Party. Bob, always good to see you, my friend.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
And Dr. Don Jorgensen, the former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. And this is the first time I've seen Don in like a couple of months because I was getting ready to go on my vacation, and then Don's been away for about a month or so. So good
That's
to see
right.
you again.
I've forgotten you had been away before that. Yeah,
I was
been a while.
Away, and then you went away. You had a couple of things going on over in Europe. You had a good time over there.
Fascinating. And I'll tell you what was fascinating about that, too, is how tuned in folks in Europe are to what's happening here in the U.S. With our politics and already focused on the whole process of the 2020 elections.
Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. And before we get into the whole, take a look at last week's 20 plus, no, I guess it's only 20 candidates. I want to talk a little bit about the effort to make council elections ward only. That effort, Bob Westerman, did fail. They could not get enough signatures, this initiative, to scrap Tucson's current city council election system, which goes back to 1930. So is it time now to just let's live with what we've got?
You know, I think,
are you willing to accept that?
Not really. I mean, the concept needs to be challenged, and the problem is getting enough people to step up. It takes a lot of energy to get these signatures. It takes a lot of time and effort to do it. And since this has been brought up how many times in the, over the years, I think it's just lost the ability to get the people motivated enough to get this thing back on the ballot. I would think it would gain support. I think it would gain support from both sides of the aisle. I think that the idea of having a ward that doesn't represent the people who live there is, you know, just democracy. That's just not the way to do it. So I think it could be pushed, but, you know, the problem is, Bill, is getting somebody to go put that effort out.
Especially this time of year. It's hard to gather signatures. Don, what do you think? Should we just forget about it?
Well, what I found funny about this is Republicans complaining about having to gather signatures when it was the Republicans in the state legislature that passed all kinds of laws making it incredibly difficult, more and more difficult, to gather signatures for petitions and for any kind of changes statewide. A little different on the city level, but it just kind of points out kind of the ironic nature of that complaint. But I think it is true that this attempt has been made several times, particularly over the past decade when Democrats took control of the council and the mayor's office as well. And it doesn't seem to be going anywhere. So, you know, if you believe in democracy, the people continue to say they're comfortable and happy with the way it is.
10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. It's the Buckmaster Show. It's the Monday political face-off. Interesting op-ed in the New York Times last week from Larry Bartles. Mr. Bartles is a political scientist at Vanderbilt University in Nashville. He's the author of Democracy for Realists, Why Elections Do Not Produce Responsive Government. I tend to agree with him. There's got to be a better way, Don and Bob, to vet these candidates. 20 candidates up on stage, and I'll just read you a couple of sentences what Mr. Bartles says. If you're hiring someone for a vitally important job, and granted, the president of the United States, about as vital as it gets, would you begin by interviewing 10 applicants at a time, hoping that the ones with the snappiest sound bites might also be the most qualified for the job? Of course not. And yet that's the bizarre logic behind this week's or last week's Democratic presidential debates, Don Jorgensen.
Well, let's look at it as a job interview. What do? You go through the whole list and then you winnow it down before you even meet with them. And then you conduct in-depth interviews. That would be an ideal. If we could have, let's say, and I'm not advocating this because it will never happen, mm-hmm. but let's say a 30-minute, 60-minutes type interview, even mm-hmm. go 20, with each candidate, where you really have the chance to ask them about the issues and get a little deeper into what they believe in their character. That would be great. That will never happen. Sadly, I don't think Americans have the attention span for that. So unfortunately, we're left with a number of these other options, like debates, like now putting out their positions on electronic media and mm-hmm. such, again, which only attracts people who are really into what's happening at this point. So right now, there's no clear answer. This idea that, yes, it's not the way to interview folks or to hire for a job. No, it isn't. But having, I think his argument was having the powers that be within each party kind of anoint folks hasn't worked well either.
Bob, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, having just a couple years ago go through us that ourselves with the Republicans, I can tell you that it's more complicated than it sounds. And there is a situation where you want people to run because that's what democracy is about. So if you want to be run for president, you can go do that. And if you want to call yourself a Republican, you do that. If you're an independent, you still can do that. I think Democrats have the same kind of situation. You've got Sanders, who's an independent, running as a Democrat. But in any case, they can go ahead and put their hat in the ring, which they do. But then the process after that bill is interesting because they can stay in from state to state as they go through the primaries. And so, you know, with Vermont and New Hampshire and all starting at the beginning of this thing, and they keep staying in. Well, the votes go away as you go through these states. And that's kind of how Trump really got elected, is that all the other were losing their split of the vote between like 8 or 9 people. And they did that as it went from state. By the time they got down near the end, near the convention, Donald already had amassed enough votes to kind of get him the nomination. I think Democrats are going to head down the same road here. You're going to find out that the person with the biggest, like Trump had his 35%, right? All along.
Right.
If Biden, for instance, can maintain his 30% all the time along, you might find him just eventually being the nominee. I'm not saying he will be, because there's a lot that can happen, obviously. So it's not just the fact we have a lot of them. It's the process we follow along the road.
Bernie Sanders can be a real problem. He's talking now, Don Jorgensen, about if he doesn't get the nomination, and his support has been really dwindling over what it was 4 years ago. He says he's not going to guarantee he'll support the nominee. That could be trouble.
It is because we have the experience from 2016 when that's exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening with the Democrats now in terms of the primary process is in fact a reaction to what happened in 2016, where the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, did favor Hillary Clinton and took actions that made it difficult for Bernie to get the attention, to be treated essentially equally. You could argue that this time, in looking at this whole process of debates, they've gone to the other extreme. As Bob described accurately, this happened on the Republican side as well as the Democratic side, where the DNC set very minimal standards for qualifying for the debates. The top 20 had to get, I think, 65,000 donors from across 20 states and just be 1% in the polls. So that got us the 20 that we saw on the stage. That's going to continue in July, and then in September, those figures double. So I think we'll start seeing that winnowing out happen. But you're right that when you have a candidate who is extreme or completely different mm-hmm. than from the norm,
right.
they tend to have a base. Trump mm-hmm. had his base, mm-hmm. which didn't grow, didn't shrink too much mm-hmm. during the primary. And the rest of the, what you might call mainstream party members, and this now we're talking about the Democrats, are split among a number of candidates. So that 35%, which has shrunk a little bit after the debate, I think it's down to 33, is still significant when you have those large percentage split among 18, 20 candidates. I think, though, we on the Democratic side will see that begin to coalesce around a fewer number of candidates, particularly by the first of the year, because what's key in the minds and in the statements by Democratic voters, not just the candidates, is they want to find the candidate who can best beat Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't the case in 2016 with the Bernie supporters.
Right.
But we're even hearing that today from those progressives and Bernie supporters, that this time they've learned the error of their ways from 2016, and they'll get behind whomever the Democratic nominee is.
Don, did they change the rules on the superdelegates from 2016?
There is talk that the rules are being changed and have been, and I suspect we'll see that also.
That's
yes.
one thing the Democrats have that would moderate this process is they have superdelegates. So at the end, they could basically, the party can make a statement or support the party candidate with those superdelegates. And I think Sanders got really upset about that when...
Right, that was part of the what was considered to be valid right. criticism at the time.
All right, Don Jorgensen sticks around, as does Bob Westerman. It's our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Want to tell our listeners about my favorite bakery in town. It's Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They're open right now for lunch. You can have lunch. You can have breakfast. They're doing the hot breakfast now each morning at 6:30. So there's a wide variety of breakfast items for you. And, of course, they've got all those great pastries and all the wonderful breads. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. They're at monasdanishbakery.com. There's also a link on my website to all of our great partners at buckmastershow.com. We'll be right back on 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's the Monday Political Face-Off on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. It's July 1, 2019. It's our Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Check out Moe for all of your framing needs. They're at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Bob Westerman seated to my right, Don Jorgensen to my left for our Monday Political Face-Off today. Joe called us at 790-2040. Joe, what is on your mind today?
Well, Mondays are my favorite. For this very topic that you do, Bill, so thanks for what you do.
Thank you.
You know what? Don, I'm going to say that this, I'm a Democrat. I've been a Democrat since the 80s. And, you know, the Democrats are coming out of the worst losing streak in 100 years as of 2016. So, you know, to sit there and say that Bernie Sanders is an extreme candidate, that is, it's just laughable. He's a populist, and he's taken populist positions, whether you're talking about Medicare for all or taking our schools back from Wall Street or livable wages or legalization of marijuana, you know, getting money out of politics. Those are not extreme positions. It is the extremities, the extreme positions of the leadership in the Democratic Party that is really fringe. They go for the exotic billionaire donors, and they can't coalesce a base. They're going for this disaffected Trump voter strategy. And I'll tell you what, I agree with Bernie Sanders, because the DNC has been so ultra scandalous in the past. We will know them by their works. And I tell every single Democrat that, you know, this thing isn't done. We are a split party. And I don't deny it. I look forward to it, because I want corporate centrist Democrats to go away. They are not helping this party. They are the catalyst behind that 100 worst losing streak in 100 year.
Okay. Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you for your opinion, Don. Your reaction.
Bernie Sanders has done two things that are very good for the Democratic Party in this 2020 campaign. Number one, as Joe pointed out, he has brought these issues forward that are now becoming mainstream Democratic issues that has to do with healthcare coverage for all, which whatever form, and there's a lot of different forms being discussed, but it's being discussed. That's a key, as well as the growing income inequality. And he has forced those issues to the forefront, where you now have a number of Democrats addressing those issues seriously. And that's one of the differences with Bernie. He's not the sole progressive candidate now. You have Elizabeth Warren and a number of others. The other thing he's done is forced the DNC to change the rules, not to favor a Hillary Clinton over Bernie Sanders, which happened in 2016, and Joe's right about that too. So now you have the opportunity for a number of candidates to come forward and demonstrate whether or not they belong on that stage. And as I think many of us saw, some of them probably do not. And again, I'll agree with Joe for a third time. Yeah, Bernie's no longer a fringe candidate, as long as we have Williamson there on the end. But he may be limited in his support now because you have so many other candidates like an Elizabeth Warren and like some of the others on the stage who espouse similar proposals, similar ideas, and have actually taken it farther. I think the challenge for Bernie is to expand his base and to go beyond the campaign of 2016. And I think all we heard in the debate the other day was the same rhetoric, the same ideas from Bernie Sanders, and nothing really new.
Bob, 26% of Americans call themselves liberal, and as David Brooks pointed out in the New York Times last week, the candidates at the debate last week fall mostly within that 26%, and that could be a problem.
Now, there's definitely a race for the left, and so many of the issues and so many of the positions it's hard to tell one from the other, and so there. I think the idea is just to get as far to the left as you can. You know, that's what sets you up. If you can come up with the best position on the most liberal, you know, subject, then you know you can stand out. They're not giving any of the moderate Democrats a chance to really get out. Matter of fact, the moderate Democrats, if they're up there, would probably be afraid just to kind of speak out because they're overwhelmed by the number of Democrats who are pushing the very progressive agenda. It'd be interesting to see how that works.
Who is moderate up there, Don?
Oh, you have a number, and I obviously disagree with that because if you look at the Democratic positions, they're more center-left, and they tend to reflect the positions of the majority of Americans in the polls who want something done about income inequality, something done about election security, something done about climate change, something done about protecting health care and Social Security. Those are not far-left issues. Those are American issues, and that's what we're seeing. Now, you have a number of candidates who will go farther left on some issues, like Medicare for All, but back kind of, again, as moderates when you're looking at issues with regard to income and family security and all the other issues, immigration that are out there. You have Kamala Harris, who is in that area. You have Amy Klobuchar, who's in that area. You have a Pete Buttigieg, who is somewhat in that area. So you have a number of candidates, and there's a lot of the others, and I won't go through all of them because we don't have that kind of time, who demonstrate that real understanding of what Americans care about, and they're reflecting that both in the Democratic Party overall and with some of these particular candidates. So I think they are in touch with what Americans and what the voters care about. Their challenge, as in any political primary, is to try to appeal to the folks at either the further left in the Democratic Party, just like Trump changed his rhetoric in 2016 to appeal to the far right and to the evangelicals, you know, said what he had to say to get those votes. So you see that behavior on both sides in the primary, and it'll tend to all of it moderate itself when you get to the general election.
Yeah, I really think that this debate is going to give the Republicans a whole lot of stuff we can use.
Ammunition.
During the, like, yeah, absolutely. There's because some of these things, Don thinks they're center left, but these things I hear are far more to the left than center left. There's no details on how they're really going to pay for it other than to give more to tax the rich and the corporations, and that's it. At right now, we are in a deficit. We have a huge debt. It's going to continue. You talk about welfare for all. Welfare is already running out of money in 20 years. So how are they going to do that and put everybody in welfare? So there's a lot of ideas. These sound great. Hey, free education, free health care. Everybody gets in the United States and we're, you know, kumbaya. But the details are what's going to have to come out. But the debates will give the Republicans the ammunition when time comes, when these Democrats are going to have to move more to the center to get the votes they're going to need to win, because 50% of this country still is on the conservative side. So they're going to need some of those votes, and they're going to need all the Democrat votes. And if they lose some of the moderate Democrat votes in this, they could be setting themselves up for a bad election.
Well, Bob, you mentioned the massive debt and deficit we have right now, and that's accurate. And it came about due to the Trump kind of billionaire and corporate tax cut. Nobody asked him how he was going to pay for it. Now we found out he's paying for it on the backs of the middle class who having to deal with this rising deficit.
Okay, so if you're talking about adding to the debt by adding new social, very expensive social programs,
all of them are describing how they'll be all of them are describing how they will pay for it and the relative savings that come by lowering the cost of health care overall. So you're going to, yes, pay a little bit more out of one pocket, but save a whole lot more in the other. And I think most Americans can add and understand the difference.
Well, if they do add, I hope the rising deficit
caused by the Trump Republican policies.
I hope they do the math.
Who's on the upswing after this first debate?
Well, definitely Kamala Harris got the biggest jump, showed that she is a serious candidate, that she can, and what she demonstrated was a couple of things, knowledge of the issues, and certainly her willingness to take on Joe Biden in that debate demonstrated two things. Not only is she up on the facts and up on history and really represents the Democratic Party clearly, can speak clearly and forcefully, she also demonstrated that she is equally capable of taking on someone like Donald Trump in the general, and you could picture her in that setting in a general election, being able to, as she says, prosecute the case against Donald Trump. Elizabeth Warren did well, didn't gain, didn't lose, but again, demonstrated she was clear there. Pete Buttigieg, for many folks, provided his introduction to himself, as did many of the candidates, and came across as very thoughtful. It's still surprising, I think, to a lot of folks that a small town mayor could stand on a stage running for president and be credible, and he did that. And he proved that, you know, he's certainly qualified and capable to advance to the next debate. And I think that's what we're looking at this point. Which of these candidates showed enough to move on credibly? Amy Klobuchar is another one. Cory Booker is another one. So you had several out there. I think realistically, most folks who watch those debates could probably cut the field in half at this point. That won't happen until the fall or later, but I think that's what we saw. You had at least 10 there who have the right to move on.
If you swing this back to what we talked about at the beginning of this, which is applying for a job, okay, the weakness of a lot of these candidates is going to be experience. Harris doesn't have any experience. The
Attorney
how many
General
these people,
of the largest state and senator, she
that's
has...
That's not enough executive experience to run as president.
I apologize for interrupting, but tell me what experience Donald Trump had in government.
I think he's already president, so we have to worry about that discussion. The issue is, though,
that's not what we
if you look
about.
At the international experience, nothing in this debate so far has talked about any international issues, and that needs to be brought up because that's going to be something that's going to come up during the general election.
And on that, we agree.
All right. Bob Westerman, thank you, Bob. It's good to see you. And Don Jorgensen, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill.
The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Check out Moe's, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. We're now at the bottom of the hour on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We'll hear from General Wickham and his thoughts about the first American president to step into the over the DMZ. That's coming up with General Wickham.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk on this first day of July 2019. It's time for the Buckmaster Show contributor on military and foreign affairs. He is four-star general John Wickham, who is commander-in-chief of the United Nations Command and commander of the United States Forces in Korea and the 8th Army in Korea. He's author of the book Korea on the Brink, which chronicled a very dangerous period in Korea in 1979 after the assassination of South Korean President Park Chung-hee. In 1983, President Ronald Reagan appointed General Wickham Chief of Staff of the U.S. Army. A 1950 graduate of West Point and former social sciences instructor at the Academy, General Wickham retired in 1987 after 4 decades of service in the Army. The Army Times has named General Wickham one of the 10 leaders who most changed the United States Army. General Wickham was a combat commander in Vietnam, where he was critically wounded. He was twice awarded the Silver Star for battlefield valor, as well as the Bronze Star for valor, the Purple Heart, 11 Air Medals, and 4 Legions of Merit, along with 8 Distinguished Service Medals. His recent collection of poetry is titled On Life, Love, and Living. It's available on Amazon. He and his lovely wife, Anne, reside in Oro Valley, and he joins us now on the Buckmaster Show. General Wickham, how are you, sir? That sounds like Korean to me, General.
Sounds like Korean, yes.
Yeah. First of all, birthday wishes are in order. General Wickham, just a few days ago, turned 91 years old, still going incredibly strong, working out on his bicycle every day, and he's still very active, of course, keeping up with current affairs. So happy birthday. What's the secret to your longevity?
Thank you, Bill. It's very thoughtful of you to do this, and wonderful program. I think there are several insights. One insight is an obvious one, to care for the body that God gave you as best you can, with good food and with exercise, as you point out. And the second one is to have an upbeat outlook on life. If you are going to be dour and negative, you're going to suffer the consequences of that attitude. But if you're upbeat and pleasant and looking forward to things, that's going to contribute to a longevity. There's a third one that we never think about. We should. And that is that we're not alone in this life. That the good Lord is with us every step of the way, and the good Lord has a plan for every one of us. We can influence that plan, things that sometimes we don't like about the plan, but the plan is there for us, and we need to ask the good Lord's help to continue to do his work and to improve the world as best we can, and to care for our brothers and sisters that are nearby. So I think that's an important aspect about longevity.
And you really do watch what you eat still, don't you, General?
Oh, yes, yes. And we're very good about that. And where we live in Splendido, they're excellent about it.
Yep. All right. Big news over the weekend. President Trump became the first sitting president to step foot into North Korea. Was this pretty much just for show, General Wickham?
It was partly for show, yes. And that's a natural phenomenon, Bill, as you understand so well with leaders. They have to do this if they're going to continue to be prosperous as leaders. Having stepped into North Korea many times, myself and my wife Anne the same, we understand the dimensions of it. But the important aspect about all of this is that apparently the administration has begun to moderate its policy towards North Korea. The policy had been that there must be complete, irreversible, and verifiable denuclearization. Get rid of all of your weapons before we'll sit down and talk. That's never going to go anywhere. And so they moderated the policy to something similar to what we had in the Cold War, which worked. In the Cold War, Russia allowed inspectors to go all over the country. Russia stopped producing weapons. And so apparently our policy now, we've just, at least that's what's indicated in the media, we're going to accept a freeze on nuclear weapons production from North Korea, and that's enough. We're not going to ask them to give everything up. And I think that's going to bring the North Koreans to the table in a prosperous and in a successful way.
You know, there have been some awful incidents, as you're very well familiar, along the DMZ. The most notorious incident happened, General Wickham, in 1976, when an axe-wielding North Korean soldier, several of them, killed two American officers sent out to trim a tree that had been blocking the view from a checkpoint. Do you remember that incident?
Yes, I do, and I've been there, and I've seen that area, and you're exactly right, Bill. The demilitarized zone is a remarkable area, and for people living in Tucson, they need to recognize the distance from downtown Seoul, a city like Los Angeles, to the demilitarized zone is the same distance from where we are right now to Davis-Monthan. Very close. And the demilitarized zone is still filled with mines. One of our sons, who is a lieutenant over there, and his platoon was up on the DMZ. And when somebody stepped on the mine and the difficulty of getting the rest of the platoon out of there without losing anybody's life. So, and I've seen this happen so many times during my tenure over there. It's a dangerous area, and but it's an area that we can eventually begin to clear of these mines. And I've seen this happen over in the Korean scene.
And we became very close to war, by the way, after that incident in 76. Washington sent nuclear-capable bombers toward the DMZ in response. And there was also several incidents during your time in Korea that came very close to war.
amen, amen. Every time we've had a new president, for example, in Reagan, Ronald Reagan, a remarkable president, became president. It was an incident with the North Koreans. They were going to test him, and they tried to shoot down one of our SR-71 aircraft with a missile. And Reagan instructed me quickly to prepare a plan to attack North Korea if they tried it again. And they approved the plan, and he also gave me the authority to start war if they tried it and the North Koreans tried it again. Well, they didn't. And we were listening to the North Koreans with the CIA translating their talk and their secret talk. We knew that they were not going to try it again, but they were prepared to do it as part of their testing. And then to a degree, they have tried to test Trump. So it's a natural phenomenon. We need to recognize that and not overreact.
But you had been given the green light to go to war.
Yes, that's right. And
wow.
In cockpits, ready to go, airplanes that were loaded.
Mm.
My son, who was a lieutenant, was up on the DMZ, and he is prepared to attack with others across the DMZ. So, yes, it was a dangerous time, but fortunately, the North Koreans folded.
All right, we're going to pause right here. 790-2040 for comments or questions for General Wickham. This portion of Buckmaster presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. I'm so proud of our great sponsors on this program. Silver City has been with us pretty much a legacy sponsor since day one. Back in 2011, it's just a three-hour drive from Tucson. If you're looking for a place to cool off, that's the place. It's 7,000 feet. For anywhere from about 5,000 to 7,000 feet in that portion of Southwest New Mexico. Good starting place, southwestnewmexico.org, where to stay and what to do, all listed for you. We'll be right back with General Wickham.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. I'm Bill Buckmaster. This portion of the program presented by Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, the 13-acre site, home now to Zocalo and all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. General John Wickham with us on the Buckmaster Show. And General Wickham, before we move on, just a few more thoughts about Korea. I'm just curious, General Wickham, do you believe that North Korean leadership had to get the sign-off from China before this meeting with Trump, or do you think North Korean leaders could act on their own on something this big?
For a minute on that, and just commend you for the vendors and supporters of your program, Bill. Many of them that I know, for example, the RTA, I was on the Citizen Advisory Committee for 3 years that led to the current plan and the half-cent sales tax increase. Very valuable work that these organizations do, and contributing to your program is one of them, because in better informed citizens leads to a better America. So you're doing a wonderful job. Now the founder of the North Korea, would the North Koreans be able to do some of these things on their own? Yes. Kim Jong-un, the grandson of the founder of North Korea, is an influential figure. He is not really totally running North Korea. There are influential groups, mostly military, but some commercial that are involved in running North Korea, so they could make initiatives on their own. However, their relationship with China is invaluable in terms of economic aid and also trade. And so there is a constant dialogue that goes on between Pyongyang and China. And I think that's valuable. And we in the United States need to recognize that the more we irritate China and get into their and get into a conflict with them, the more we interfere with the influence that China can bring to bear in working on not only Asian problems like North Korea, but other problems in the world. And we need to work more closely with China and also with Russia if we're going to do a better job in the world. Unfortunately, Bill, as you know better than anybody, the United States has abdicated its role of leadership now. We're no longer influential in Asia. We're no longer influential in Europe. Russia is. And I think that's unfortunate. The United States needs to, if it's going to be a strong country again, can get involved in more leadership roles and accept those responsibilities.
So it's almost like Russia and China have taken over the top spot as kind of being the influence right now.
They have, exactly right, Bill, and you understand it in spades. And you could say, well, okay, that's fine. As a citizen, let it happen. On the other hand, look what the role of our country has been in the past decades. The life that we live today, the benefits that we have today, they've come from our history and come from a democracy that has been strong. Unfortunately, Bill, I don't want to get into politics, but we've pulled the rug on that democracy, and it's going to get worse unless we be stronger in terms of leadership and recognize it. As an illustration, the Congress and the administration say they support veterans' affairs. We really do, and we just been through Memorial Day. Well, they don't walk the talk. There's an undercutting of veterans' affairs, and I've seen that personally with benefits being reduced and the cost of insurance programs going up for veterans. We're not walking the talk and caring for veterans, and that's going to be bad news in the long run. Part of the problem is that we have the lowest number of veterans in Congress and in our state capitals and legislatures, and therefore there's an ignorance about what service sacrifice means from veterans. And we got to turn that around if we're going to be serious about caring for veterans and also building our military so that it's strong again. If we're going to divert money from programs to improve our military infrastructure and weapons to build a wall that doesn't make sense, then that's going to undermine our capacity to influence events in the world. Unfortunately, Bill, as you know better than I do, we're doing just exactly that. We're diverting funds away from important programs to build a hollow wall.
What are some of your thoughts very quickly on the 4th of July and apparently actual tanks out on the mall that's being talked about for the 4th of July celebration?
Well, it's important to recognize as citizens the role that we play in the world. And one piece of good news as we illustrate and think about golly days, our young people are not more interested in patriotism. When after Grenada, when we went in, you remember, and we freed American medical students, and I went around to pin Purple Hearts on soldiers that were wounded, Marines also, and I went into Walter Reed and pinned a Purple Heart on a badly wounded soldier. And he was the photographer was about to take a picture for history, and the soldier put his hands up and said, "Wait." And he said, "Don't take a picture yet." And he reached into his pajama pocket and pulled out a small American flag that had been sewn on his combat uniform. And he put that little flag over the Purple Heart. And then he said to the photographer, "Now, take the picture, because this flag is what I am proudest of." It illustrates that our young people do love America and are willing to sacrifice for America. If we give them the opportunity to do it and give them the resources to do it. Unfortunately, Bill, we're not doing that now. We're walking away from that kind of role of leadership and inspiration for our young people. Now we're going to have a 4th of July event. That's very good. It's a way of reminding people of our history. And we need to remind people that we've made enormous sacrifices in the past to keep our country great.
All right. Let's see if we can work Richard in very quickly. I've only got about a minute, Richard, but go ahead.
General, I just wanted to ask you about Afghanistan. We have to leave. How bad will it be? What will happen in Afghanistan? I know we're out of time. And, sir, you're a great man. I thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Richard. Very good question. And Bill, I commend you for the reader, I mean, listeners, the very good questions you've had over the years. But one point about Afghanistan is significant. Why is Afghanistan a significant country? Well, look at the geography. The travel between East and West, the resources that are available. Russia went into Afghanistan because they recognize the influence that that country can have. So does India. So does China. So does Pakistan. So does Britain. So we need to recognize that Afghanistan is an important country in terms of peace in that region.
Only about 20 seconds, General. Go ahead.
Unfortunately, we're not doing the right by it. And we need to sit down regionally with all of these countries. And we're not doing it. We're trying to do it on our own and maybe walking away from the problem.
All right, General Wickham, very much a pleasure. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to the United States. And thank you, General, for everything you've done for this country. Thank you, sir.
God bless you, Bill, and God bless your program.
Thank you very much. 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. I'm Bill Buckmaster. On behalf of John Couch, my engineer producer on the other side of the glass, we thank you very much for listening. We'll be back with you at 12:04 tomorrow on Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.